Come on.
Hello, dear listener. Before we get into today's show, quick ask. If you find value in today's show or you've gotten value out of a previous show, please leave us a quick 5-star review. Be super grateful. Thanks a lot. Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grombacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Brian Barnes. Brian, are you ready to do this?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Brian is the founder and CEO of M1 Finance. It's an intelligent personal finance platform allowing people to invest, borrow, and spend all in one place. Again, I'm excited to have you on. Brian, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
The most pertinent background to M1 Finance was just introduced to a brokerage account at a pretty young age and immediately captivated by the notion of investing, that it was this like hairy intellectual quantitative and qualitative problem that if you were right, you made money. If you're wrong, you lost money. So it was, you know, cool, fuzzy problem with stakes attached that was really interesting. So, you know, did that middle school, high school, into college. In college, majored in econ and math. And then worked in the professional landscape for a little bit at doing equity research for a hedge fund and then a management consulting firm after that. It was really leaving that and managing my own money that I thought the tools out there were, they hadn't changed much since I was a kid. You know, it was still like do all the work yourself, place a trade, get hit with a 10 buck commission. And M1 is really the manifestation of the personal finance account that I wish existed, that I could manage my money, that, you know, it would be automated investing, so I could design a portfolio that I wanted, just automate it to my heart's content. I could have access to low-cost capital to borrow for whatever purpose I wanted, and I could transact through the account and sort of optimize the yield on my cash, optimize the cash back through my card, and have sort of, you know, manage my entire holistic financial life, automate it, optimize it, and keep it low cost. So that was the progression and why I started M1.
And here we are.
Here we are. Yeah, just a casual 5 years later, and we haven't face planted yet, so it's nice.
Right, smooth sailing. So 5 years, nice. I imagine it sounds like what you sort of envisioned, and for lack of a better term, sort of manifested, has taken form. What you started out to make it a little bit easier. How has the scope of it changed?
Yeah, so I mean, in some sense, the ambition from the get-go was always to create this next generation personal finance platform. And, you know, in some sense, that's creating the next generation financial institution. And so that's a lot to bite off and chew, yeah, you know, sort of minute one when you're a few people around a kitchen table. And so we did have to like systematically progress through that. And so we started with Invest. And so the whole notion for Invest was every single brokerage account, every single do-it-yourself brokerage where you're making investment selection was built around the trade, and it encouraged hyperactive trading. So, you know, it was how many shares of this security, this order type, place the trade, and they made money on the trade. So they're encouraging buy at 10 a.m., sell at 2 p.m., and, you know, turn over your portfolio quite consistently. And our philosophy was, people can have a perspective in what they want to own, but there's also a lot of long-term systematic investors out there who the most common use case is I have incremental capital every 2 weeks and I need to put that to work. And so the whole notion for M1 was let's design a portfolio that you want once, let's do it on a percentage basis so it doesn't matter how much money is on the platform. And then anytime you add money to it, let the software take over and intelligently direct it towards where it could be best used. And so that was the first product that we came out with. It's design a custom portfolio, systematically invest in it, let the software take over. That's probably our best known product. And so we, you know, it took us 3.5 years to get to a billion, 6 months to get to two. We're now, you know, 2.5 and growing. Then we added M1 Borrow. So it says, hey, if you invest with us, we're going to leverage that to provide you really cheap access to credit, and you can use it for whatever you want. It's a little bit of, you know, I don't care what your credit score is. If I have $200,000 of yours on the platform, I'll give you a $70,000 line of credit at 2%, and, you know, use it, like invest it, use it off platform. Don't get a auto loan, don't get a HELOC. This is a much more flexible, lower cost way to borrow. And then recently, over the last 6 months, we've launched our checking account. So it, and that's you know, a high yield checking account with high cash back. And so it has been this systematic progression where we were first focused on best in class products for each category. And now that we have the foundations across each, we're really focused on the integration and how each product complements the other.
Nice. Which it you know, looking at the platform, it makes sense to me. It's like, okay, I imagine that he did start with some kind of an idea in mind, and it's finally taking form, or it's starting to take shape. I think that's so cool that you're essentially recreating and creating this next level financial institution. Is there? I'm sure there's a lot of things. What did you want to avoid doing?
the toughest thing is the breadth that you need with people's finances. And so, similar to you use a smartphone for a lot of different things. You use it as your camera, your email, your web browser, your picture. I do think that's the similar mentality to your financial institution. You should use it for your money and every aspect of your money as opposed to cobbling together a bunch of point solutions. So that, like, unfortunately means there's a huge breadth of things, and you're working in different regulatory landscapes, different products, yeah, different archaic technology and the like. And then I do think we've seen it in the fintech landscape that there's a big difference between users and assets. And I think a lot of our fintech peers are sort of replicating the playbook of a lot of other, you know, internet tech companies where it's all about getting users. And so they're, you know, getting users to sign up in mass, paying them $5 and then saying, us, we want to be a firm that manages finances. And, you know, how can we have the person who has $250,000, you know, put 90% of their money on M1 and the like? And when you're doing that, the level of sophistication goes up and you're competing head to head against, you know, on the banking side, Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, on the brokerage side, Schwab, E-Trade, Fidelity. And so it's really raising the bar and saying, you know, hey, we have to go after the incumbents. We can't go after just, you know, creating an online digital piggy bank, but never being able to transform to manage real sums of money.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate that. And I know that fees and expenses have always been something that you've not been a big fan of.
For sure. So, you know, when you're managing your own money, like a dollar of cost in managing it is the exact same as losing a dollar. And so, the one of the best things for maximizing your long-term returns is minimizing costs. And that was, you know, Vanguard's ethos for the longest time of let's just aim for the average, let's index and everything. But by minimizing costs, you'll forego taxes, you'll forego trading costs, you'll forego management costs. And as a result, you'll do better. The nice thing is in the digital era, we can sort of, you know, everyone can create their own unique index. And so you can have the same cost minimization as a Vanguard index fund, but it can be exactly of the investments you want. And so I think it's the same ethos as Vanguard of, you know, let's reduce costs so that you maximize your financial return. Let's use software to do, like, automate it to your heart's content. But then with this new era, we can personalize it to your heart's content as well.
So walk me through an example of what somebody will expect when they open an account with M1 and they fund it. You talk about personalizing your investment approach. What does that mean?
Yeah, so the entire notion of an M1 portfolio is built around pies. And so it's a graphical way to construct and organize your portfolio. And so what you're doing is you're carving up that pie and you're saying, I want this percent of my investment or my portfolio in this investment. And so you can come to the platform and say, at any given time, I want 5% of my money in Amazon. So that could be one allocation. You can also say, hey, I want 20% of my money in healthcare stocks. That can become its own pie, which you can divvy up amongst healthcare companies and the like. And so it's a really intuitive way to say, you know, this share of my money should be allocated to this investment, whether that's a asset class, whether that's an ETF, whether that's an individual stock, or whether that's a collection of stocks. So it's a mental model where it's, you know, I want my investment portfolio to be allocated in this fashion. Then on your initial investment, regardless of the amount, we're going to divvy it up perfectly, and we're going to use fractional shares so that 100% of the money goes to work in those investments that you've selected in exact proportion to the investments you've selected. And so it's, you know, you can just deploy any amount of money, whether it's $100, $1,000, $10,000, million, and it just automatically goes to work in those investments. And then the cool thing is, and the real magic of M1 is as your portfolio changes over time, some of the investments do well, some of them do poorly. As money comes into the platform after that, it intelligently surveys your portfolio, says how has it behaved relative to your targets, and intelligently directs the money. So in the crude example, if you know Amazon, you say you want it to be 5% of your portfolio, it's only 3%. Every time you add money, more is going to go into Amazon than 5%. And if it's 7%, less. And so in that effect, it's dynamically rebalancing your money as you add money over time. And so it's this intelligent platform that just adjusts as you systematically contribute to your portfolio.
Got it. Nice. Very cool. I can't even imagine how in the world you even started to actually design that and then put it to work.
So in some sense, like design was more how I managed my own money, that, you know, I did the progression from Ameritrade to Options House to Interactive Brokers. And in some sense, that was just fee reduction, fee reduction, fee reduction.
Yeah.
Every single time I would output all my portfolio into an Excel spreadsheet. I would have my Excel spreadsheet of the investment portfolio that I wanted to construct. It would tell me the trades I needed to make. Prices would be changing. The rounding wouldn't work out well. I was doing a ton, and so it was really just hey, software should be able to do this. It's just, you know, numbers on a spreadsheet. That's what computers were designed for. And so the back end was really just replicating the Excel spreadsheet that I had purchased. The front end interface was just making it hyper intuitive of, you know, here is 100% of my portfolio value. What percent do I want in any given investment? And it encourages beneficial behavior like diversification, that, you know, if you have to buy and hold shares, you can only afford a few and it gets clunky and you can't spread it that thin. Whereas this sort of says, no, like, you know, spread it across multiple securities, add the benefits of diversification. It also lets you visualize sort of risk exposure and how things have behaved against your allocation and the like. And so, you know, it's just a combination of those two to both. It's like both increase complexity of what you can do, but then simplifying it from a user experience perspective.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. That's probably the reality, is that not everybody is wired the way that you are, and not everybody is interested probably in going through as in-depth a process as that. How do you serve those folks?
Yeah, so the nice thing is, yeah, M1 has spanned the spectrum. So we have people investing their first $100, and then we do have eight-figure accounts on the platform. So, you know, $10 million plus accounts who are using it as a robust portfolio management tool. M1 has a lot of pre-populated portfolios that people can grab. And so if you're unsure of what to do, you can just grab a, you know, moderately aggressive portfolio that's low-cost, index, diversified portfolio that's very similar to any of the portfolios a robo-advisor would give you. The difference is we're free. They charge you a quarter of a point to manage that. So you can do that. Then what you can do is you can say, hey, I want that to be 90% of my money. And so the vast majority is going to be managed by this low-cost, diversified portfolio. But the other 10, I want to start picking five stocks that I care about. I just want, you know, it's not going to drive my performance. I'm not going to lose my shirt. I'm not going to, you know, like conquer the world by this 10% allocation, but it does get you interested and engaged with your finances to an extent where you start contributing more, you start following the news, you start realizing, you know, hey, what drives the fundamental success of a business? And, you know, it's very hard to be successful at anything without some engagement in it. You know, that like very few people just throw things over the wall or outsource it completely and, you know, do the beneficial activity. And so, you know, that it's all about, we have the glide slope for a beginner to get started, but then we do want to encourage a little bit more engagement over time to, you know, understand what's happening with your money.
Yeah. Amen to that. I appreciate that. So, and I don't know if it's a secret or not, but, what's on the horizon for M1? What's next?
Yeah, so we have the three main products: invest, borrow, and spend. And that really provides the infrastructure layer that we can manage your balance sheet, your investments and borrowings, and then we can manage your cash flow, how you spend and receive money. For us, it's really about going deeper in each and providing automation and optimization across those three buckets. And so deeper in each, you know, we can offer more borrowing options, secure it against different things and sort of layer there. Spending, it's right now our spend product is a, you know, digital checking account and everything that you'd want to expect with a digital checking account, but there's automated cash flow analysis, automated budgeting, you know, suggestions on where you want to pull back if you want to save more money and the like. And so, you know, there's a lot of built-in features and functionality there. And then we're focusing really heavily on the automation. And so, you know, as a dollar comes into the M1 platform, where can it be best used for your personal finances? And so it automatically gets routed there without you having to do anything. And so the ability to sort of set up parameters of, you know, I want to pay down high cost debt first, then I want to invest in a tax-free account, an IRA account, then I want to, you know, move it into a taxable brokerage account and the like. And so it moves into this like comprehensive platform where all your money is, you know, perfectly managed according to your unique wants and preferences.
Yeah, I love it. The more that we can, I respect and appreciate the fact that the more interest and more engaged we can become in anything, but certainly our finances, the better. And the more we can take our hands off the wheel of directing money to certain places to pay off debt and to make sure we don't miss bill payments and stuff like that, the better. So to be able to automate, that's such a powerful thing. So how much does this cost?
Free. So that we don't charge for the investing product. We don't charge for the spend product. The borrow, you only pay for what you use, and the base rate is currently 3.5%. We then have a paid annual subscription that you can enroll in if you want. It's $125 a year. And that gives you more trading options or more investing options, I should say, a discount on borrow. So the borrow rate drops from 3.5% to 2%.
Oh.
And then it gives you 1% yield on your cash balance in the spend account, as well as 1% cash back through your M1 card. So it's a, you know, subscription service, very similar to Amazon Prime, that gives you sort of like the best of M1. So it's, you know, free by default. People can use it for free and only pay for the borrow portion, or you can pay the $125 a year and get added benefits across the entire platform.
I love it. That is cool right there, Brian. Nice. Well, Brian, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head that, like, successful personal finance is about engagement, and so you should engage with your finances. You should not outsource it completely. You're not going to be successful at anyone by, you know, giving the keys to the car and not focusing on it or not being concerned about it. And so you should have some engagement, some personalization to what interests you and makes it exciting for you. But then you should automate anything that you can. That the if you have to keep remaking a good choice over and over again, it becomes way more difficult. The best thing that you can possibly do is automate it and have the beneficial behavior happen by default. And so that is really what we've built with the M1 platform.
Like, that is great stuff. That definitely hits. Come on.
Come on.
Beneficial behavior. That is a great term right there, Brian. I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you, and how can people get signed up for M1 Finance?
Yeah, so we have website, web application, and mobile application. So our website is m1finance.com, and then you can find us on the App Store or Google Play Store.
Love it. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Brian your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to m1finance.com, download the app, and take advantage of all these awesome resources. Thanks again, Brian.
Thank you.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together. Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online bootcamp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com and get your mind, body, and money right.